This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
It's board meeting of the holiday company, the corporation, the business.
Sorry, back up. Which holiday, or it's every holiday?
It's the corporation that makes and sells all the holidays.
All the holidays.
So
all the new
the board,
ones.
It's Mrs. Claus, it's Dracula, it's...
But it's also the pirate from Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Time to Make the Donuts guy from International Donut Day.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Oh, all your siblings are there for Sibling Day, which is like, honestly, to me, that's my favorite holiday now. I used to like, when I was a kid, I liked Christmas. Then I got kind of into Halloween just because it's so freaky. And it's when you can really get out there and like freak out your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But now as an adult, Sibling Day, man, where I get on the gram and I look at everyone with like their brother who they see once a year. And they're like in, you know.
And they're little kids.
Yes. They're,
because they don't have
like
a
rugby
picture.
Shirt in a sandbox. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, yes, this is actually giving me life.
So we're thinking like, okay, it's Valentine's Day coming up. And we have...
I'm just sweating a lot. That's why I keep wiping my face with a towel.
Because you went for a walk in very cold weather.
It was... Yes, it's 20 degrees, but I realized I was running late and I had gone the wrong way. And so I started running
really
on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't stop sweating. But go ahead. You're at the holiday store.
We're at the holiday store of the corporation. And we're thinking like, okay, we need a new one of these. Like, look at Galentine's Day. That's doing like gangbusters, big business.
Big numbers.
And they did a whole TV show about that.
The cards that people buy for that, like some of those cards make me openly weep when I'm reading them just like in the middle of a Walgreens or whatever. Just seeing what girlfriends might send to each other on Galentine's Day and the depth of that friendship and those relationships. And it's making me, in the Walgreens, lie down and have a cry and get swept up with a broom by one of the employees because they think that I'm like a mess that someone spilled on the floor. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I am.
One of those huge, like, after hours, like, rolling machine brooms that they push around.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we need one of the, that's Galentine's Day is whatever, the 13th or something. 15th, there's another thing. We need one for the 18th. And I'm supposed to give a presentation, and I didn't think of anything ahead of time. And so I said I had to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom. I thought of something. I came back, and I pitched Shallow Valentine's Day, which they were really nice about.
That's awesome. Well, they should be. I mean, it's a solid idea.
They were so nice.
What happens on Shallow Valentine's Day? Walk me through it.
On Shallow Valentine's Day, and this is where they were mostly like helping fill in with pitches, which I really appreciated. You watch Shallow Hal in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Just get it out of the way.
You wake up and watch Shallow Hal.
What a way to set the tone.
And then for the rest of the day, you wonder, what if that is happening to you?
Right.
And you don't
everyone
know.
Everyone you see, you're actually perceiving their inner beauty or lack thereof rather than their physical appearance.
How would you ever know? Is it?
I guess using the film as my teacher, you would know sometimes by how like gravity behaves in the world.
but if that's all you, but if that's normal for you, you wouldn't know. Like if you,
if you'd been normal for you, since birth, you mean
to sit on one side of the seesaw and then a normal sized person sits on normal size.
No,
I'm
Gwyneth Paltrow mode. Yeah.
Sits on the other side of the seesaw and you are rocketed off into space. If that is something that like
has always happened.
If that's it's always happened, how would you ever know?
But then Shallow Hal wouldn't be happening to you. What would happen is you had been born with the mindset of Shallow Hal, whereas what happened to Shallow Hal is that I think Tony Robbins shook his hand in an elevator.
Is that what happened? Oh, Dylan, go ahead. Go ahead.
Please, please. Oh, this is a longer intro than usual just because we weren't confident that you guys would be able to fill the whole show.
We're eating.
We can't. Run that's time. Correct. First of all, hi, I'm Dylan. I feel like Tony Robbins,
actress,
there was an elevator.
Podcastress. Yeah.
Hang on. Podcastress.
Friends with Broti.
Hi, I'm Broti.
Podcast. Also doing now, writing. Mm-hmm. The podcast is called Lecture Hall. It's on Patreon. They have no machines or equipment that they do it on. Mm-hmm. It's sort of original in that way.
And it's reflected in their subscriber base.
And in,
it's
and
very
in
minimalist.
The quality and in the quality of the
yeah,
podcast.
And in the conversations.
Yeah. And, yeah,
and
in
we'll
our
get
friendship.
Back to and we'll get back to Shallow Hal. I just want to say I really relate to this friendship because as an actor, I'm not gonna be like friends with another actor.
No.
You know what
Why
I mean?
Why would no. you be?
I'll, true. We can be cool. Like I'll be cool. Like if I see you, like it's fine. We can be cool. But I'm not gonna be friends with you. You know what I
Here's
mean?
Well,
thing.
Because what for, I yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
For every
I'll go
two
after
people.
You.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm
I'll
gonna
go first,
after
and
Sean.
Then
I'll go after Sean.
So it'll be me.
Great,
Sean,
Kevin. Are
and
you keeping
Dylan.
Track of the order?
Yeah.
It's Brody, okay, Sean, so, me. It's not that hard. It's three people.
Yeah.
Okay, Dylan.
I think between two people, there should be one SAG card.
Yes.
I wanted to say that out loud. I thought it would be like an interesting addition. Sean, do you want to take
probably
it from
it.
There?
No, I'm going to take it. But honestly, what you're saying is actually cool as hell. But I'm in this spot where like, and I'm guilty of this a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm not listening. I'm waiting for my turn to speak.
Yeah.
And we actually created that dynamic. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say that. If for an actor to be friends with another actor, okay, yeah, you could be cool with them. But ultimately, when you both end up in the same audition, you got to activate that killer instinct. And mm-hmm. you have to be willing to rip their throat out in front of the casting director in order to get your job. So for me, it's like, because I'm not in that field, I could be fucking pumped when Hayes Mann books a big role. And I go, mm-hmm. shit, I can't wait to watch that. Because even though it's adjacent to what I do,
yeah.
As a basically a producer, mm-hmm. I understand the language of what he's working on, but I don't have to be jealous because I'm not pursuing that same avenue. What I'm trying right. to get into is segment producing for Funny or Die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to book the trucks. I want to use the interns, maximize them. I want to, hey, you know, do we need another light?
Sure.
Fucking, I can see
can
everything.
Can we sell
money
this
bright
light?
For me.
Right.
Do we need these lights at all? Can we sell these?
I mean, as for me, I want to be in that Funny or Die sketch. So, like, mm-hmm. I immediately thought compete. Auditions when you were like, actors can't be friends with other actors. I obviously thought of, like, an audition scenario. And then I realized, like, my entire life is an audition. Because, like, mm-hmm. these days, you don't really, like, go to an audition and say, like, here's my resume. It's, like, who you know. It's, like, you want to cast your friends. Yeah. So, like,
well,
every waking moment is an audition.
If you just let Dylan go, because
she's next.
Yeah, sorry, because it was my turn.
Dylan didn't step on
and
your SAG card
thing. She did just
end
up saying the same thing that she'd said earlier, so
maybe
you sort of instinctively knew that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was trying to maybe save us all from a little bit of embarrassment, but this is a podcast where everyone is vulnerable, so
mm-hmm.
I think that mm-hmm. that's
No,
that's
I've been
okay.
wiping sweat off my face in front of you guys the whole time, like...
Right.
That doesn't get more vulnerable.
It's been a real producer move for you. I can definitely see a producer doing that because it's like, oh, you've organized all these lights. Now you're sweaty.
Yeah. On camera talent probably wouldn't let you see them that way. Unless it was what the character was going through.
That's true.
Talk about sweaty characters. Anyone can answer.
Everybody
at the same time.
Not everyone. So anyone is not everyone.
Okay, well, Dylan, go ahead.
Thank you.
Dylan, go ahead.
I was going to say Gwyneth Paltrow in Shallow Hal.
Yeah, no, that's actually a great answer. The first thing I thought of as well. And some of Jack Black's characters.
Yeah, I mean, he's not sweaty. That's the crazy thing about Shallow Hal is, like, he's also sweaty.
Yeah, right? And then he's coming from this place of incredible judgment.
Yeah.
As is George Costanza.
Oh, George Costanza is sweaty. I think he is a little nervous, and that probably, you know, there's, like, being physically sweaty, and then there's also being emotionally sweaty, which I find.
What does he have to be nervous about? What's he nervous
You wouldn't
about?
Be nervous? You're best friends with Kramer?
He's opening opening the door so fast that right. He could really hurt you.
And he could do that at any point.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a door you could stand by where there isn't just the looming threat of Kramer and the velocity.
And the window is right there on the other side. He could so easily just, like, open the door so hard, smash you out the window. We saw the AC unit fall out of there.
The blooper reel every season was just George getting creamed by the fucking door and sometimes getting really seriously hurt. They shut down production, like, every year because he would be very badly injured. So there was a medical team on standby, but it was the whole bloopers. They weren't funny. Like, it was just like Jerry says a line and then wham. And George is like, fuck, Jesus Christ.
I mean, you wonder, like, why by the end of the series, George Costanza is sort of flat like a pancake.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. He did just sort of gradually flatten out.
Mm-hmm.
And you were remembering Shallow Hal, Dylan. I don't want to, like, you were sharing some memories of Shallow Hal. I don't want to get away from that.
I just wanted to say, like, Tony Robbins did make a cameo in the film. I think there was an elevator.
And that is what gave him his powers?
Yes, he. I don't know if he goes to a Tony. The elevator shakes uncontrollably, and then Gwyneth Paltrow is very fat.
Wait, what if the elevator was shaking because Kramer was under it?
He was under it?
Yeah, he's like shaking it because he wants
to. Oh, yeah, because
like...
he heard George Costanza's in the movie, so he showed up on set. And now just anytime somebody's inside anything, he's trying to burst through in some way. That's fucked up. Wow, Kramer, I never got that layer up of the film. The Farrelly brothers, man. There's always more to uncover. Those films are like giant onions to me.
In what way?
I think that Tony... they make me cry. I think that Tony Robbins definitely undoes the Shallow Hal effect. I don't know if that's what gives him the power, as you put it, Hayes.
Well, okay, I just want to say, like, as somebody, like, I like to study, like, a good screenplay, like Shallow Hal, and I just think that he would do that. Like, they would put the sort of similar things at the beginning and the end, like, to bookend the sort of thematic.
I thought he was chasing him down to be like, I need you to do that. I need you to fix what you did to me. I thought that was what was happening.
Yeah.
But here's where I have to be embarrassed and vulnerable again, which is what we do on this show, and admit it's been a little while since I've seen it. I think it's been almost 6 months, and I don't have... I don't have every single beat of it, you know, precise in my mind right now. And this has been a really good reminder, big wake up call for me. It's time to sit down and put some time in, Mr. Shallow Hal.
Well, that's what February 18th is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right around the corner.
Do you feel weird that you said time twice in that sentence?
I didn't.
Okay, you shouldn't. I just
this
wanted
is
to
off
say
the
you shouldn't.
Cuff. You know, Hollywood Handbook is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
Yeah,
it's no, not I'm glad.
Where
I'm
the
glad.
Points don't matter and everyone gets vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Points.
I haven't seen Shallow Hal, but I have seen Kramer versus Kramer.
It
if
shows.
We want to talk about that.
It shows. Yeah, I'll talk about it.
Okay. I think Meryl Streep does a great job in it, but what else is
Well, you know, she's only in a few scenes. She has about 18 minutes of screen time and she won the Oscar.
So that's a great job to you. Is barely even showing up for the movie.
I mean, there were scheduling conflicts. That's why
What did she have
I
to
honestly
do?
I hate this.
You
what
hate
aspect
what?
Of it?
I hate that when Brody, who's supposed to be like my co-host, talks about actors who do a good job and that I have nothing to do with and I wasn't even born yet.
You notice I haven't done that to Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sean, do you like the movie Kramer versus Kramer?
Let's have Hayes answer first.
take
it away, Hayes.
I think it's pretty good. I think I would have been, I think I could have contributed a lot.
Yeah, it's missing a lot. You know how it was that improvised moment where Dustin Hoffman throws the wine glass against the wall as he's standing up from the table at the first kind of meeting with Meryl after she had abandoned them.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hayes, I think if he was in it, would have thrown every glass you see against the wall.
No, like, no, no. That's is, such a memorable moment. I would have made. I'm standing there. I'm not either of those characters. I'm just like a third guy who's like, yikes. But he throws the glass and I freaking catch it. And I'm like, nuh-uh-uh.
Hey, man, this is a restaurant. These aren't yours. You want to smash a glass? You do that shit at home.
Nuh-uh-uh.
Obviously, you guys have something intense going on.
Wow. Wait, so Hayes, you would sort of save the day. That rules.
I just put my hand up, just like unfazed, and I'm like, nuh-uh-uh.
Where are you? Because, you know, they do have like a corner table and he smashes it against. Where are you hiding during that?
I have just kind of nuzzled my way in there over the course of the scene. And I'm like getting behind his chair and I'm like, excuse me. I have to check. I've got to check on this corner. This corner stinks. And I'm like smelling it.
So you're crouched down.
Yeah, I'm crouched down facing the corner. Really getting my nose at it.
Uh-huh.
What stinks over here?
Do you find out what it is?
Do I find out what it is? What's more satisfying? I mean, this is like the 70s. I think back then it would have been like the conversation. Mm-hmm. The end of the conversation, you know, where he's like tearing the walls open and stuff.
They left a lot of stuff ambiguous back then.
Well, they didn't have CGI, so they had to. Mm-hmm.
Right, like because what stinks, it would have to be something, it would probably be one of the ghosts from Ghostbusters or something like that. So you'd want to have the special effects unit in.
They do look like they smell really bad. The ghosts from Ghostbusters are drawn like they smell
absolutely
bad.
Oh, stink like shit.
Yeah, if someone said that, I would be surprised if someone said the ghosts smell really good.
Well, this is another spot where Hayes could have been really, I think, Bill Murray's funny in those movies. Hayes, I know, would have loved to be in there. He's a waiter in the corner, and he goes, "Pee, you stinky ghosts."
Ugh.
you know what I'll say about Dylan is that I don't think she would have been in that movie. And why? Because she's not a stinky ghost, and that's a compliment.
Okay, there are female roles. There's roles that could get gender swapped.
Yeah, there's that crazy dog.
No, I think you would be. I think you would be in your own movie during that. I think you would be in Lady Bird.
You think?
Okay.
During, instead of Ghostbusters, she would have been in Lady Bird instead.
Uh-huh.
That's really nice.
Yeah, no, that actually is kind of nice because I would have really done a lot for my career. I probably wouldn't be on this podcast.
Well, Hayes would have been at the same time in Brad's Status, which also took place in Sacramento. So. So it's like we both are supporting our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in Sacramento.
Well, Brad is at the beginning anyway. Then he's
the characters in it's a movie. It's fake. Like the characters in the movie are there.
Oh, right.
They probably shot like exteriors in Sacramento and then whatever, probably Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Do you have to shoot exteriors now or can you just Google image search it?
You're asking me because I'm a producer?
Uh-huh.
I'm old school.
Yeah.
I draw it.
Uh-huh.
FOD has a cool way of doing this where, Sean will draw it. He'll draw a house with a family outside. He'll draw the sun. He'll draw a tree. And then the actors hold that up kind of next to their head.
Mm-hmm.
What side, right or left? Is there like a?
It depends on like which side, what part of their head is ugly.
The image is reversed, but
yeah,
it's
I am wondering, like, you know how, I'm not saying this is what's going on here, but you know how, like, a therapist will ask you to draw a house with a family to sort of indicate emotional distress in a child? Is that anything related to this?
Well, I, you know, obviously I've never thought about it. I was mostly just like, we have to somehow generate an image of a house for this shoot that is, you know, taking place on the corner.
But then, like,
of,
you
like,
didn't draw a mom. Yeah.
Franklin, which is like a really crazy intersection. So, and I need to make a suburban house. But when I draw it, yeah, I guess I've noticed that the family is always like killing each other.
Yeah. None of them have heads.
Oh, man. So are the heads like pretty like,
they don't have
heads. Look like they were.
They don't have them. Or like they're buried under
what,
the tree.
No matter what your follow up question is, it's built on a foundation which cannot stand.
Okay, what did the necks look like? Are the necks like nicely sewed up? Like the head has been amputated?
The necks look like spaghetti.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that's Sacramento. Yeah.
It looks like a little spaghetti.
Yeah. One spaghetti
one
or
little spaghetti, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I like a long noodle. In terms of pastas.
Okay, Kevin. Down, boy. So let's get into the show itself, which is basically some sort of teaching seminar or something. You do lecture hall and you tried to humiliate us and made us go on there and like tell you some kind of basically like Wikipedia page or something.
Yeah.
And, gee, how would you like it if, I don't know, somebody did that to you?
We do it all the time. We would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We feel really good,
good
about
then
it, 100%.
Do it. So, good, then great. Do it.
So do
okay,
it.
Okay, Dylan,
I picked a
ahead.
Pretty fun topic. Do you want me to start?
If you like it so much, then yeah, please start. Do it.
Okay, well.
Can you not yell at my friend Dylan?
I'm Thank actually, so unlike you, I actually
You better
have a
not yell at my
microphone.
Friend Hayes.
I actually have a machine that actually shows me how loud I'm being. And right now I'm in the high end of the yellow range, which is normal and is actually good. So if you actually had a machine that could tell you what volume is, then you can talk to me about yelling.
Well,
it doesn't go the other way. You can yell at Brody if you want. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, but that's because I mean, I'm fine with that because I'm sort of hard of hearing. So
honestly, either of you guys can yell at either of us. At least something would be happening.
Wow. Well, now I have to go into my topic. Okay.
Good.
Good. I'm glad. You're
well,
so
my
excited
topic
to.
Is the Westminster. It's the Westminster Dog Show. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's
okay.
Fun.
My second favorite dog show.
What's
your first one?
I love the rescue dogs.
Oh yeah, they're not allowed in the Westminster for shit. You're not allowed to be a rescue dog. They did let mixed breeds come in 2014, but they're still probably bred. Okay. So it was an all breed show that was hosted in New York City from 1877 to 2020 when it stopped happening.
It's over now?
Well, they moved it to
That's
Tarrytown,
a long dog
New
show.
York.
That's a really long dog show.
It's crazy how you can just do that. Like I said something and then you like
Wait, what is that? Yeah, how do you do that?
That was crazy. Like I said like a span of time and you reacted like it was like one show.
That's so interesting. How do I do that?
How do you do that?
That's like fucked up. I actually never even think about that.
I'm worried that if he thinks about it, like he won't be able to do
it. I won't
it.
Be able to do like, that.
It's
anymore.
Just this kind of innate ability.
And it's not like I do it all the time. I don't even do it every episode. So it's like I can't really afford to like think about it too much and do it less. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, protect that. Protect that about yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, that dog show would take forever.
Gosh,
it would take forever. That's really funny. It's annual, you guys. It's just one a year. Okay. So they're required. Dogs are required to be on display in their assigned locations during the entire show, except when shown in the ring, groomed for showtime, or taken outside for elimination.
They take them outside and eliminate them? Wow.
Well, if you can bring the dog with me.
And the dog is being taken outside to be eliminated?
Yeah. They take them outside.
Wow.
I can't draw dogs.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I can't get the body shape right.
Yeah.
And it always ends up looking more like some kind of crazy giraffe.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, I can help there. Way shorter neck.
Well, the neck ends up looking like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right.
No head.
No head.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how does it look like a giraffe?
I guess I was being generous to myself. It just looks like a big mess.
Yeah.
So I guess I was being kind to myself.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I shouldn't have tried.
So like on our show, we usually like present something. Okay. The first Westminster show took place on May 8th, 1877, which is a day after my birthday, which is May 7th. Originally.
Okay, my wife's birthday actually is May 8th.
Oh, so, wow. I could have been May 8th. I was born at 11:56 p.m. So,
were you really?
I was. My mom
bragging about the like ability to be born on a specific date. Like, I could have been born on this date. Yeah.
If you just held on.
And why would you even lie about that? Everyone is asleep.
You weren't born that late at night. Bedtime is 10.
People can bedtime be is born 10. At night. Okay.
No, bedtime is 10.
Did you come out of there asleep?
Yeah. Were you asleep when you were born?
That's so late.
Dylan, I actually also was born at night, but I wasn't born last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly buying what you're selling here.
All right. All right. It was like 4 p.m. Wow. And it was in October. Originally, the prize for winning the dog show was a pistol.
Wow.
Given to the dog?
Yeah. It was a really like fancy gun that everybody was trying to vie for. So the way that they judge dogs is that there's like a written description of each breed that some guy just writes like his dream shepherd, and then they just try to match it to that, including eye shape.
Sorry, when you say dream shepherd, do you mean
Jesus?
The Sandman? Dax?
I'm talking Dax. He's a dream shepherd.
So we went with Kevin's pitch, I guess.
That was really funny.
Hayes, how do you do it? This is twice now.
Yeah.
Well, God, it wound up being Kevin's crazy joke that everybody went
This is crazy.
What was your joke?
He said the Sandman, like, and which is sort of the range I was walking in, that it's like someone who shepherds you through
He's
your
the
dreams.
Dream shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with Dax, but thank you. I'd love to find something that we could do together. So Westminster held competitions in junior showmanship ever since 1934. So you can be a child and show dogs. The winning dog becomes America's dog for the coming year. And this entails the reign begins with a media tour.
I thought ballpark Franks were America's dog.
Sean,
I'm just trying
Sean,
to do
louder.
Like what
say,
Hayes.
Say
Sean, you're back.
Sean, say it louder.
Yeah, no, I will.
Brought to you again, you don't know how loud he's being, like you have no way of knowing this. You don't have a machine that tells you this information, but we do.
I have two machines. They're my right ear and my left ear. And they're telling me that Sean's very quiet like a mouse. And Hayes, you're very loud like a lion.
Your ear's a machine?
Yeah.
Brody was in a horrible accident.
And your ears got replaced with
robotic machines? I went through some kind of factory assembly line because I thought it would be fun.
You came out with two big machines on your head.
Yeah.
No. So the reign of being America's dog.
No, you didn't. Yeah, right.
What
sorry.
Do you mean, no, you didn't? You don't
I'm
know
sorry.
What it's like
no,
to be-
I'm not. This is ridiculous.
Sean, you don't know what it's like to be a woman of color in America right now.
All of you have ears that are machines?
That's
First
the
of
issue?
All, don't say all
I've
of you.
I've really misunderstood. Yeah, we're not supposed to do that.
Like we're a monolith. There are four of us.
Well, then who's the we then?
The other people like me.
Okay.
I think Dylan was talking about the Westminster Dog Show.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. Anyway, the reign of being America's dog begins with a media tour, and then the dog visits the observation deck at the Empire State Building. They take him up there. The New York Stock Exchange.
Him, interesting. Also,
yeah, huh. We'll get into that. We'll actually get into the gender of the winner later, trust me.
I hope so.
Then the New York Stock Exchange invites the winner to ring the bell. I don't know how a dog rings. The dog rings the bell.
They take him up there, and what happens?
He just looks down. Like, I don't know.
How do they know when? Like, how do they know when it's like enough that they've been up there long enough?
What do they do with that prize-winning pistol?
I don't know.
Well, the pistol doesn't.
You're allowed
win the
to
prize,
kill. You're allowed to kill anyone you want. You're allowed to shoot one person. Whoever you want, once with the pistol.
I wouldn't shoot them in the head. I wouldn't
kill.
The
dog?
No, just anyone. Yeah. If I had to shoot someone, I wouldn't do it in the head.
Okay, interesting. It okay. feels like you want a follow-up question, so...
I don't.
All right.
I'm going to sleep now.
No, you. Oh my God, she's gone.
Roti went to sleep.
Okay. It's because we touched on something that she actually really believes, which is weird.
She's put a lot of thought into where she would shoot someone.
I know. There's clearly someone she's thinking of, too, which is really disturbing.
No, I put thought into where I wouldn't shoot them, and it's head.
Who is it?
Who is it?
Do you want to say? Is it Tim Kaine?
It's John Stamos.
Yeah.
I wouldn't shoot him in the head. I wouldn't. I think he should live.
Mm-hmm.
No one said he shouldn't.
Okay, so you're going to leave. You know he's grandfathered, right? You're going to
yes.
leave. You're going to leave
lot.
That the grandchild without a grandfather?
Without, because guess what? I'm not killing him.
Yeah, but he has to go through all kinds of physical therapy.
No, not all kinds, just the one.
This guy literally found out that he was both a father and a grandfather on the same day. Can you imagine the trauma? What?
I was just thinking, now Brody has a gun. Like, he's been through
enough. You've got a gun, and you're going to point at a guy who, first of all, his restaurant, Jimmy's, is getting its ass kicked by Bistro 6. Deion fucking Sanders is coming to town, and he's going to eat at Bistro 6, which is a huge photo opportunity. He's trying to find a way to get him to come to Jimmy's. Oh, and by the way, he's babysitting his grandchild for the first time, who he just found out about today on the same day he found out about his child. So this is a lot to deal with.
So isn't it like a second chance at life that he gets shot, but not in the head? I rest my case.
Okay, so you're saying maybe it would help him if you shot him at Bistro 6.
Then he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero that lives.
That's not right. He's definitely not a hero, but maybe then people wouldn't go to Bistro 6 so much because Brody's there. She's shooting people. Should we go to Bistro 6 tonight? Oh, no, Brody's
just,
there. She's
let's
shooting
just go
everyone.
To Jimmy's.
She's got a pistol.
Yeah.
Because Brody's not allowed at Jimmy's anymore because there's a restraining order. She shot the owner at Bistro 6, where she is still allowed.
She's still there.
I'm allowed at... Okay, I'm allowed to eat at Jimmy's, but I have to be outside.
Yeah, because it's COVID. Nobody's eating inside. There's no
COVID.
Indoor dining.
That's not because of the Westminster Dog Show pistol shooting.
Yeah, it's not because you shot anyone. All this other stuff happening.
Oh, then why do I have to eat outside?
Well, because first of all, you make a big mess.
I don't mean to make a mess. I always clean up after myself.
No.
You kind of, don't. First of all, you kind of just kick it around with your foot.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize this was happening. Let me clean this up. And you kick it around with your foot. And then you have a big backpack on with a big sloppy towel that is even messier than what's on the ground. You go, I'll get it. And you're just sort of like slapping it down against the pile of food that's on the ground. And there's pieces of old fish falling off the towel and all this stuff. And we're going like,
but
please
trying,
don't help. Like, stop helping.
Yes.
I'm trying, aren't I?
I guess, but it feels like you know. It feels like trying, you know that you're leaving it worse than you found it. And so this is another reason you're not allowed.
You order the whole branzino.
Yeah, it's a great dish.
And then you eat it with just that. The towel is also your utensil for some reason.
Yes. So then it's just
well,
like,
it's so that my hands don't touch the branzino directly.
But it's so hard for you to like pick things up.
And I'm being generous, yeah, even in calling it a towel. It's really a blanket.
It's a quilt.
A towel at least is like a something you would use to clean, but don't clean up with the blanket. You called it a towel. That's why. And I've fallen for it here, but it's clearly a quilt.
I mean, it doesn't have separate things for my fingers. You know, it sort of acts like a mitten, but worse.
It's like a mitten without a thumb.
Yeah, it's a mitten without a thumb.
And let's be honest, it's huge.
The quilt is huge. And it's, you obviously put a lot of time into it, and each square is dedicated to a different erotic Pokemon.
Okay, you're just describing my awesome quilt.
But this is just an answer to your question, which is why do I have to eat outside? It's like every restaurant is like, okay, you can do that, but you have to do it outside.
Okay,
street cleaning is tomorrow, so you should come today and then they'll come and hose it all off.
I have a question for you guys. Do you guys ever think about how hard it is for me to eat the branzino with that quilt?
No, we can't even see the erotic Pokemon. It's covered in fish heads.
I don't want to eat the branzino that way, but what other option do I have? What am I? I'm not an animal. I'm not going to just like eat directly with my hands or like put my face in it. Getting in the quilt.
I just wish, at this point, I just wish it was a different quilt, because a lot of times there's kids eating around you, and these Pokemon drawings are pretty graphic, and you've changed all of the names to like different dirty names, except for Squirtle. That one is left.
Well, that's what I started with, and then you kind of build out from there. Well, here's the thing is,
Blastoise is also still...
That's right.
Well, I started with Squirtle, and then I learned that he's actually one of these things called Pokemon. And so that's how, you know, I thought he was just sort of an independent erotic figure.
Okay.
But the point is, if kids see it, then, okay, great. They're learning about sexuality in a healthy way.
I agree to disagree on that. A lot of them actually look extremely unhealthy. It feels as if you've gone to great lengths to give them various conditions.
Well, how else? Here's the thing is that nobody knows what to look for with chlamydia. And now I have, you know.
I brought up the quilt. I'm sorry I brought up the quilt. What's the dog show thing? What happens next?
I just keep remembering this is like the lady who came in and shot John Stamos.
Yeah, no, that's not to be.
Not in the head.
That's not to be forgotten. No, not in the head.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/the boys. That's rocketmoney.com/the boys. rocketmoney.com/the boys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So look, only 7 dogs won more than once, but there's one 3-time champion, and it's a dog whose name is Warren.
Warren.
He was early 1900s dog.
Hey, what if his last name
Warren.
Is Peace? What if his last name is Peace?
Oh, like Warren Peace?
Warren Peace.
Yeah. Warren
That's cool. Peace. That's like a Hayes-style joke. What if his first name is Elizabeth?
So Elizabeth Peace?
Wait, do you mean instead of Warren?
No, yeah, well, Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, but that would mean, okay.
That would mean what? Or do we not assume that Warren all dogs are called by their middle name?
That's all. Yeah. Only 3 times that the dog won again, huh?
Yeah, no, that's the most any dog's ever won.
Warren.
The dog will come back and be like, this dog sucks now.
Yeah, no, they'll come back and they'll be like, we're on to other things.
Yeah, we've actually moved on to other stuff now.
Oh, shit. Warren. Holy shit, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you came.
You're back.
Fuck, dude. Nice. No, I think we have a spot for you. Hang on real quick. Hey, move the trash can. Yeah. No. There's a platform right over here. No. We were expecting you. Yeah. No. Totally. Yeah. Warren, get in here. Warren's here, everybody. He came. Isn't that cool and good? Yeah. No, he's back again. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck he's doing here. He looks like shit. Yeah, Warren. No, give us just a second. Yeah, I'm so sorry this is happening. Yeah.
Hey, it's when Sean does acting like this, do you feel threatened?
No, he's giving me line readings.
Oh.
This is now for me to do.
Oh, can you perform it now?
Yeah, sure. Warren? What? What the hell?
Warren's, why is Warren's here?
You need to move the light, move that light. This is me producing.
So I, you know, it's like, I make it really intense. I think back to like stuff that happened to me personally.
Yeah.
I combine that with Sean's line reading.
Sean's not an actor. He's not saying like, this is how to do it. He's like, this is the ballpark of what I'm looking for. And then I'm
just giving
you
a,
interpret
just a vibe for it. You know, I'm really, if anything, maybe like a dialect coach.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So Warren's so Warren, like, absolutely kicking ass.
Yeah, he fucking destroyed 3 years.
Warren is Crush Zone 5000, absolute unit.
yeah, but he's, you know, he's been dead for like 130 years. So the two of the most popular dog breeds in the United States have never won Best in Show because they fucking suck. The Labrador Retriever and the Golden Retriever. Because like, I feel like both of them are like lumpy and stupid. Like, they're not going to win like Best in Show.
They don't suck.
Lumpy.
Anyway, that's just like a... Yeah.
Stupid.
That's its toes.
No, it has like a big, big like lump on its head where it points around and seems to like smell.
That's its nose part. That's not a lump.
That's like a thing about labs that are like kind of ugly. The oldest winner was a 10-year-old dog named Stump in 2009.
Stump.
Stump.
He pulled through late in life, which is, it's like never too late. Like, I know like Orson Welles wrote Citizen Kane when he was 25, but like Stump won when he was 10.
I've been saying this, and this is for podcasting too. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking when I'm like 59, 60 years old, that's when it's really going to hit, like this whole podcasting thing. People are going to be like, yes, now you're the best one.
Mm-hmm.
When is that? 10 years ago? I'm just kidding.
When is what?
Never mind.
No, I got it. I got
2009?
It.
2009? Yeah, I mean, roughly.
Can I tell you a joke I made about a Labrador Retriever, and you can tell me if it was offensive?
Okay.
What were the circumstances? What's the context?
The context is, it was my neighbor's dog. He had a massive tumor on his head, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And
but where were you when you made the joke?
It was via text message.
To who?
Last year, to my family. So they sent us a photo of the puppy.
Kevin's family's really rich. If this makes any difference.
If that informs how you're picturing it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He has a sister.
This is like a fancy text that you're sending.
Very
to
fancy
a rich
text.
Family.
So
yeah.
The tumor got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the dog died. This was like 10 years ago. And then last year, they got a puppy, and the puppy was so small. And I said, oh, the puppy is smaller than the tumor on Lambo's head. And my family said, that's offensive.
Well, I guess I agree that it's offensive because you characterize it as a joke. If it was simply a statement of fact, which you believed to be accurate, I would say, I can't fault this guy. He's just saying what this is bigger or smaller than.
Yeah.
Which I know is something that you try to catalog and have had a lot of trouble with in the past.
The dog's name is Lambo.
Yeah.
So this also gives you a window into, like, this is their neighbor. This is kind of like the class that Kevin's family is coming from.
I was just gonna ask how rich
they own Lambo Stadium. My neighbors owned the Green Bay Packers Stadium, so they named their dog after the stadium.
After a building?
I guess a building's a stadium, yeah.
No, wait. A building's not a stadium. Only,
what's a stadium?
Only very, almost never.
How would you describe a stadium? What if I came up to you and I was like, Hayes, can you compare?
It's me again now? You're asking me
Hayes,
again?
I'm so happy.
I'm never
that
the one who's
the
talking
seat.
About this stuff.
Oof, this could have been really bad for me.
I can't help who I'm talking to, right? So I ask you to compare and contrast a building and a stadium. What would you say?
Stadium is, picture bowl of spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
Take the spaghetti out.
Okay.
Make the bowl huge.
Uh-huh.
Put a football inside.
How big is the bowl? Can the bowl just fit a football or?
No, it's huge.
With Paul Bunyan spaghetti, I mean, for the sake of
Paul,
argument.
Paul Bunyan spaghetti bowl.
Okay. Oh, that's huge.
Normal football. My football. Okay. Put that in there.
It's tiny.
Have a guy, have a bathroom, boys' bathroom, girls' bathroom. I mean, I guess how many toilets in each bathroom?
69.
How many?
Sean.
69.
In each bathroom?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
69.
So yeah, that, I mean, that's a stadium. How okay. would you do it?
I wouldn't. That's why I'm asking you.
Okay. You would not even describe what a stadium is.
No, if someone came up to me, I'd say, hey,
say no.
Hey, ma'am. I would say no. I would say later.
Did you bring later. Anything to teach us, or you just brought tasks for others to do? Dylan did a wonderful job.
Dylan Thank taught you. Us about Stump.
My last fact was that how many there's been the gender disparity in winners, which I know is something that everyone's wondering.
Let's get into it.
Males have won best in show 68 times, almost the right number, to females who have won 35 times.
Wow.
So we have work to do. The work does not end here.
The work does not end here. Wow. You're correct.
So it sounds like boys rule and girls drool, but boys also drool in this situation.
Case, yeah, they should.
Oh man, is someone keeping track of how many zingers?
We have really listeners funny. That do. Yeah, we have listeners that will kind of keep low score of like every time I freaking pop off like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's the Westminster Dog Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
She did such a wonderful job. Now, Brochi.
Yeah. Here's something interesting that I brought to the table is I'm going to teach you guys a little something about the podcast Hollywood Handbook.
Okay.
Which has a Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Hollywood Handbook is a comedy podcast hosted by the boys, which is bolded in Wikipedia, by the way.
Are you allowed to do that? You can't bold things in Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's bolded, but there's no link.
We have a bold guy.
Okay.
That's actually really helpful. Consists of Hayes Davenport and Sean Clements. The boys consists of... yeah. That's it. Episodes generally consist of the two of you offering advice, telling stories, and doing segments. All
that hasn't happened
highly...
at all.
I know. I know.
We did actually offer a lot of advice.
Mm-hmm.
What was the advice?
To who?
To you. First about of all, what? You need to get yourself a freaking microphone so you can hear how loud you're being, which is like really inappropriate.
You're screaming right now. You are screaming.
Can I ask you something? How could I be screaming if I have no microphone?
I don't know how to answer it because the question is so bad.
Yeah.
The question
I'm honestly
stinks.
With them on that.
What? Dylan, no. This is why women don't win the Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah, because they keep fighting with each other and talking about each other behind their backs.
The dogs are catty.
Oh, Sean.
No, it's like
it's a different animal than a dog.
It's like contagious that Hayes is giving me these like ideas for these words.
So here's a sample list of guests that have apparently been on Hollywood Handbook. Donald Glover, Ellie Kemper, Aubrey Plaza, Kumail Nanjiani, Nick Kroll, Penn
Who
Oswald.
Are any of these people? Who are these people?
Those were all pretty early. This was when they were all like, had them on the show when they were like really doing stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so now we've been doing the show a long time. So yes, we've sort of watched them come and go.
Okay. I know Kumail.
So do I. He's been on my show.
You guys released the first episode on October 8th, 2013, which is
And this is something
famously...
for you all, too. Now that you've been on the show also, this is something that happens. So you've seen it happen with Kumail. You are
you're going to
very soon going to be absolutely cut to pieces.
You okay. are going to get so fucking shredded and huge. And this is just like one of the side effects of appearing on the show.
Okay.
It happens one part at a time.
It's the handbook to hotness pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely going to explode.
And does this only happen with South Asian guests?
That's so interesting. I have never once thought about what part of Asia my guest is from.
But you've known that all of your guests are from Asia.
Yeah, I'll be like, okay, this person's from Asia for sure. But I'll never be like, oh, it's like North Asia or whatever. I just don't really like.
Yeah. So apparently you guys met while writing on the Fox program, Alan Gregory, where you quickly established a friendship and established the Reality Show podcast on the Earwolf Network. The podcast featured both of you alongside reality stars such as Survivor winner John Cochran or comedians like Paul F. Tompkins and Anders Holm, humorously analyzing reality shows such as The Challenge, World's Worst Tenants, and Splash, all shows you guys made up, right?
This is like no Westminster Dog Show for me. Like, I don't really know how to engage with it.
I already know about this stuff already. I'm already engaged by it being my entire life and like my whole life's work. And it's being like kind of summarized and dismissed in a way that I actually think is.
It's like, being celebrated. It's
very abusive.
Being celebrated.
Honestly, I get on the Zoom to escape from this stuff.
Yeah. But I'm on Dylan's Wikipedia page right now, which does talk about the podcast. And it says, in 2020, Dylan created a podcast with Broti Gupta called Lecture Hall, with guests including Iowa Debris and Rachel Sennett. I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me click on Broti's name.
What the fuck? You can't.
What the fuck? Something's. What the fuck is happening? Something wrong with my click. If I click harder. I'm clicking as hard as I can.
You're on the wrong wiki. I am on Wikifeet, unfortunately. Maybe you just. But I'm not on Wikipedia.
Maybe see if you can copy it and paste it into your search bar. Sometimes I can do that. Here, I'll do it over here.
Okay.
Huh, it's not.
Check Russian Wikipedia, like wikipedia.ru.
It won't copy it.
It says.
2 weeks later on October 8th, the first episode of Hollywood Handbook was released with guest Jake Johnson. The hosts in Hollywood Handbook, the hosts play highly successful versions of themselves.
That also didn't happen.
Presenting the podcast as an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lined back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
This is
None
like
this, this
is
has like you
what's really abusive it, about this is it's like it. Listing all the great guests we've had and like kind of the high hopes that we had on the beginning of the show, and now this is literally what it is.
You're on the show you're describing, but the guest now is you, and this is what you're doing.
And so it is making me reckon with like holding my hopes for this show in one hand at the same time as I'm experiencing the reality of what happened.
Yeah, is this why you guys, did you guys right before you got onto this Zoom with, you know, Dylan has a Wikipedia page. I, as you both have very kindly pointed out, do not.
I didn't know they documented like kind of how close you were.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a scale of like how close you are or like if they suspect that you will ultimately get one, but they're saying
yeah, and it's pretty far.
Yeah, it's not on the horizon.
It's pretty far. Is this why you stopped playing highly successful versions of yourselves? Did you stop right before you joined this Zoom?
It got less funny to pretend to be successful when we started fucking lapping everyone in the industry with all of our insane achievements.
It became mean to joke about like being rich and killing it and doing all this.
When we were significantly more successful than all of our guests, it just became like, okay, this is like now it's punching down when we do this.
Yeah.
It was probably episode 3 or 4.
It's like Kumail right now joking about being strong and ripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine.
And look, I'm laughing. I'm afraid he's absolutely going to pulverize me.
Is he like really strong? Because I just like, I'm kind of focused on like his comedy and like his screenplay and that was nominated for an Oscar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't really notice like what his body looks like or anything. Is he strong?
Are you focused on that?
Yeah.
Are you focused on that? All right.
Yeah.
Go to IMDb. Go to IMDb. Pull up your computer. Go to IMDb. Check the special thanks on the IMDb for the Oscar nominated film that you are apparently focused on.
I can't because my phone's in airplane mode because of your podcast.
Mine is too.
But you were just reading from the Wikipedia page for Hollywood Handbook.
That was
I guess you had it preloaded.
Oh, this is all from memory. This is just, I mean, I've been a big fan for a while, so this is just information that I'm synthesizing. Well, the reception section.
I'm getting charged up.
Yeah.
The reception.
The reception of your podcast. And again, this is all coming from my head, not from the internet, is that you guys have received an iHeartRadio Podcast Award nomination for
Boom.
Bow.
They added that fast.
Well, this has gotten really long. I am sort of, are you done with your part?
Your little
joke
on us? I can laugh about it. You know, I've actually got a cool sense of humor. I don't mind getting teased a little bit on my own show. No, it's fine. You know, you wanted to come and give us the business. And honestly, I'm laughing about it. I think it's funny. I get it. This is actually the kind of shit I would do. Respect. No, that's dope. I think it's cool. Honestly, doggy, I think it's fresh. I'm okay with it. No, I can laugh, even though you came on our show and we were kind of trying to help you promote your own stuff. And it's like, you're like, you know, using it to kind of like, come in and point in your Westminster Dog Show pistol at us and kind of shooting us with that. But
thank you. Like, was that so hard to say? Whatever.
But I think it's really funny. And so thanks. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to laugh at myself and not take myself so seriously on this show.
Do you end lecture hall by saying class dismissed?
No, but we should.
We just say, should we turn it off? And then someone else goes, yeah.
But turn what off? You don't record anything.
Her ears, apparently.
We record the Zoom.
Their computers?
Yeah.
So you just turn your computers off?
Yeah, we turn off the computers and then we go to bed.
Should we turn the computer off?
How do you guys do it? How do you guys end your show? You don't go to sleep after?
What's your... you're going to find out about 1 second. Just sit tight because you're about to find out.
You'll see exactly how we end our show.
What's your Patreon called?
It's called Lecture Hall.
And people have the opportunity to pay $50 a month for it if they want to, correct?
Yeah, and a couple freaks do. Also, there's another Lecture Hall podcast on iTunes that's some guys in some sort of college, and they talk about sports. That's not us.
That's not us.
You're not in college at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
God, we couldn't be further from it.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, the boys improve their ad reads, Carl and Hassan discuss parking tickets, and the flagrant ones are talking all things basketball. Listen to episodes 5 days a week at patreon.com/theflagrantones. Plus, there's new Hollywood Handbook shirts out today. Check out the new merch at tpublic.com/user/theflagrantones.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.